I just want to say that, you know, I did try the Popeye's chicken sandwich.
It's a 90s thing because Jazz has liked chicken since the 90s. So it makes perfect sense.
But my experience was a little bit tainted. Just a little bit. I received my sandwich like 3 hours after it was purchased. So I think my experience might have been a little bit off. I don't know, JD, you want to tell them why I received the sandwich 3 hours later?
Yeah, you know, whenever I have an idea, I commit. I commit very fast.
Do.
Yeah, and at one point this week, I had already tried the Popeye's chicken sandwich, and I already had my thoughts on whether or not it was better than Chick-fil-A's chicken sandwich or not. But, you know, maybe we'll expose that at another time. But Jazz had not tried his chicken sandwich, and I was feeling friendly. I felt like tithing. And I was like, hey, I'm going to go get it for you. And she did not want it when I was offering it, which is the first problem, because maybe I wouldn't have had the problem that I had the next day had she decided to take the chicken sandwich whenever I was offering it the first time.
I was not hungry. I had just eaten.
See, the thing about it is I knew that the line was so long that there was potentiality for you to be hungry.
By the time you got it, you was probably going to be hungry anyway. All right.
So we nixed that idea. The next day, Jazz brings up this chicken sandwich again. And I'm like, okay, you know what? I started to go get her one yesterday. I'm going to do it today. All right, I'm going to go to the gym. I got a whole day planned out. I made a schedule, all right? And I went to Popeye's to get this chicken sandwich. By the time she even hit me up to let me know she was available to receive said sandwich, I was in that line for at least 25, 30 minutes. And I'm loving this. I'm pretty much the most patient person you could ever imagine because I'm kind of impatient, so I often have to talk myself out of being impatient. So I come off extremely patient, like out of spite. Right, so I'm usually like, oh my god, but I'm like, JD, shut the fuck up, just chill. Everything's fine, you know.
This is a process. Exactly. This is what did you say? We gonna have chicken gate every year.
Chicken gate every year, okay? And like I told this joke in that line on the internet. I said, I was feeling good.
Or Facebooking one or two.
I was feeling good, and I got up to that window and received two chicken sandwiches after 55 minutes because I was on the phone the entire time and I looked at it. It was 55 minutes and 15 seconds. And when I got those bags, I pull off and my car just breaks down right in front. Just powers off. Just shut down. A full stop. Okay? I was done. And it was so unbelievable that I really like, you ever just be in crisis and you be like, this isn't even happening.
It's not like, happening. You can't even process the fact that shit just went down.
Listen, I was sitting there like, am I on a beam? What is wrong? Because I know this isn't what's really happening to me. And sure enough, it was. And it occurs to me in this moment that Popeye's drive-thru is a parking lot anyway right now. Okay? There's probably 100 people waiting to get this chicken sandwich behind me. And where I am is imperative to them exiting this area. And my car is not moving. And like at this point, it's an emergency. Like it's like, it's really like a, like call the cops. We need a first responder right now kind of thing. So I almost waited for the first honk because I was so in shock. I heard the first honk and I was like, okay, they honking. It's time to come out. It's time to let these niggas know that they're stuck. And I opened the door and I turned around and I looked at that sea of black people spanning around the building into the street, down the street. There's a whole lane of this street, one of the largest streets in Charlotte, that is just for this Popeye's. And I start laughing immediately. And these niggas is looking at me like, what is this nigga laughing about? Can you move your car, please? And I'm just like, my car broke down. It won't start. I need a jump. And I heard one woman open her door and go, oh, my God. And from that point on, it was all she wrote. It was an hour of anarchy. Somebody else's car broke down. She got hit while her car was broke down. Her mom came to jump her car. My car wouldn't jump. They closed the Popeyes down for an hour. People are parking.
JD closed the local Popeyes. Close it. Shut it down.
For an hour.
Probably a relief for the employees. They sick of this shit. But baby.
Jazz, when I tell you
like. The sea of black people waiting for that chicken sandwich.
They were surprisingly in really high spirits anyway. Because when I tell you, Popeyes was running chicken sandwiches so much. You know, they're sending out their employees from other places to deliver the chicken on U-Hauls. A U-Haul pulled up and I was like, I know these niggas is not stopping to get chicken on their moving day. And it was not their moving day. Hopped out two Popeyes employees. They opened up the gate and it's boxes and boxes and boxes of chicken. They're ready to go. But this Popeyes is closed and people are parking at the businesses next door to the Popeyes to park. And walking up to the Popeyes only to find out that they're closed because of me. And they come out and they are upset. And they are like, they closed the Popeyes because of him. And they're pointing at me in my car.
They are pointing and I can't say jeering. If they're pointing and laughing. They're pointing at something.
Jeering. They're
shaming. Pointing shaming. And shaming. Pointing
they got
and
their
shaming.
Phones out. They're on Instagram. They're on Snapchat. They're
this
like,
nigga done shut down the Popeyes, y'all. Get a good look. Get a good look. If you see him on the streets, beat his ass.
I've been living here for 3 weeks, and I made a terrible name for myself. I'm infamous, right?
You're infamous.
It's the worst.
This
and,
will go down in JD history.
And whenever the AAA guy came and found out that I shut down the Popeyes, he cackled, and he laughed and laughed into the night sky. And I left. I got to where the mechanic was, and they took the key, and my car turned on immediately. And I drove home. With the sandwiches in hand, an epic journey. This is now a narrative podcast. This is an audiobook now. I'm sorry, but yes, this is life.
Don't go get the sandwich. It's not worth all the problems that come with it. You know, more money, more problems, more Popeyes, more problems. So,
yeah.
Drums, please. Drums, please.
Man, what a time. You've got mail.
O to the, A to the.
Thanks for coming out tonight. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here with me. I appreciate that.
Hello, Moto.
Okay, let's begin with ultra Missy Elliott news. Yo. So many things have happened for Missy Elliott. I've
got one of the new singles on. I got the whole album actually, but I got one of the new singles on me.
First of all, she just dropped an EP. Isn't it an EP?
It's an EP.
Okay. She just dropped an EP. I haven't even gotten to listen yet. I think it literally came out last night. So
it came out at midnight and it is.
This is a Missy Elliott exclusive.
Finna go in. Is that the next line? Gotta be.
In.
Well, the crazy thing is, it's got such an old school format, yet still.
Oh, I mean, when I tell you.
Missy Elliott spin.
It's the first thing I heard when I woke up today. Like I got an email and it was like, hey, and it had all these albums I needed to check out this week. And it was like, and I downloaded that thing and I lost my mind. I was like, we have got to chop this up immediately. I've got gigs.
Wasted no time.
All week. And I mean, and everybody's going to hear this whether they're ready for it or not.
Yes.
Breaking records again.
Shout out to Missy.
And tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, and actually yesterday, if you're listening to this when it comes out, she's getting the MTV Vanguard Award.
Yes. Sir, yeah. She will finally receive MTV's Michael Jackson Video Vanguard. We have protested this for a few years now.
Yes.
She's finally going to get it. It's going to be epic. It's going to be amazing. We're going to take a look back and see all these videos and artists, all this artistry and the visuals and the performance, all of it. So looking forward to it. I'm actually going out of town on Tuesday on purpose so that on Monday night I can watch MTV Video Music Awards and here's, to see Missy shine like this.
Here's something that actually hurts me, hurts my feelings. I'm going to be working during the awards.
Yeah, I sat down and thought about it because I got to go out of town Monday. But as long as I'm at my friend's house mm-hmm. Monday night at the right time, mm-hmm. I'll be good. And I'm going to sit down and watch that shit at her house. And I'll be like, we watching the Video Music Awards, right? Because I'll go in somebody's room and stream it myself if y'all not into it.
Yeah. So.
In the midst of that, I saw something about there being a museum, a Missy Elliott museum. Yeah, I think
it's a pop-up museum, right? I think it's just for the time being.
Well, that's dope as fuck.
It is. I ain't mad at it at all.
You know who they want next up? Busta Rhymes.
He hasn't gotten it yet? We had that conversation already?
Well, I saw somebody tweeting about, that's the thing. I don't really know who's received it in the past. I can think of a few people who deserve it.
Uh-huh.
But I have, it's been years of this, so I'm not really sure who all received it, but Busta Rhymes definitely up there.
Right.
Ludacris, if he hasn't, TLC, if they haven't. That's all I can think of off the top of my head. But even, people aren't putting the thought and the creativity into videos anymore. I could think of maybe Cardi B, Travis Scott.
Sycamore was that girl. Like, that video was out. That was outstanding.
Drake does a good job. His videos are always, like, iconic. Like, we always take
a pause.
Yeah, we pause for Drake videos now. That's to name a few. Tiana Taylor's doing a lot of good work for music videos. So there's definitely...
Tiana Taylor's been like light years ahead of people for a long time.
I'm
glad she's finally getting some of the attention that I think she's long deserved.
Yeah.
I think she was very patient too, and we appreciate it.
I'm so glad she stuck around to her moment finally came, and now she has not stopped, won't stop. We're going to see a lot of Tiana Taylor in the future, and I'm excited about it.
You and I both...
So let's jump into one 20-year anniversary. August 24th, 1999, Christina Aguilera's self-titled debut album dropped, and it was a smash. Now, we've already talked about this album on Teen Pop Bop and its impact. We know it's legendary. It was that era of pop music where everybody was just going off. Britney Spears, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. I mean, nobody was playing at this time with pop music.
It was fucking it up.
Okay.
Fucking it up.
So from that, we also got What a Girl Wants, I Turn to You, Come On Over, Baby, All I Want Is You. You know what? I love that song.
Well, Come On
Can
Over.
Can we drop that? Yes.
Come on over, hey, 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 first I'm in, 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 first I'm in.
You know, Christina Aguilera was that girl. We loved Christina Aguilera because you know what? She could actually sing.
She could. Well, you know what? Let me tell you something. She was very run heavy, though. That was the thing, though. I'd never forget. People make fun of her. And you know what? She was such an early cookout invitee. Like, black women were so excited about Christina Aguilera. That girl, that's a white girl that can sing as if Tina Marie didn't already exist. Just trash.
Put some respect on trash. Tina Marie.
And Tina Marie was not run heavy at all. Because when you hear that Fire and Desire is not a good example.
It's not.
When I used to. Them and leave them. I love Fire and Desire. Oh my, they both fucked that up. Fire and Desire is crazy. Big karaoke vibes, by the way.
Yeah. So, shout out to Christina Aguilera, 20 years of her debut album, Iconic.
Dearest, sweet Aaliyah, I have trouble accepting the fact that you're gone.
It's been too long and I'm lost without you. What am I gonna do? Said I've been needing you. So I'm needing you. Imagine you are the same and who's been with you. Is your heart still mine? I wanna cry sometime. I miss you.
Aaliyah. January 16th, 1979. August 25th, 2001. Aaliyah, most exalted one. Her parents knew exactly what they were doing when they named her Aaliyah. Like,
and it is, what's the correct pronunciation of her name?
It is Aaliyah. It's Aaliyah. Not Aaliyah like we be doing. You know, we lazy.
Long A. Muhammad Ali.
Muhammad Ali.
Leah. Tatiana Aaliyah.
Okay, that went differently than
I. Pick somebody else whose last name may be Ali. And Babs Holly Berry was dating a nigga named Aaliyah.
We were having some trouble deciding what we wanted our next episode to be.
And of course, being the innovator that I am, we were sitting there thinking about it, and it hit me like a needle that this 2-week span is reminiscent of two of the saddest weeks of my life.
Yeah.
And that was from August 25th, 2001 to 9/11 when we lost Aaliyah, and then 9/11 happened. It was such a tumultuous time for a young black person.
Yeah. How emotionally draining. Good grief.
It might have been the first time I knew great trauma, like societal trauma.
Yeah.
You know?
Do you remember how you heard Aaliyah passed away?
Okay, so I was at Golden Corral. Take that with a grain of salt. I'm pretty sure that
I probably was there around that time too. We all was probably at the Golden Corral. It was popping at that time.
Shut up.
True.
Hey, yo, we went to this church, and after church, I mean, me and my family's friends would all just go to Golden Corral and chop it up for hours, and that's mm-hmm. where I was whenever I felt like I know we were talking about it a lot. It was hot mm-hmm. news. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's my closest memory to me finding that out.
Yeah, I want to say I was at home with my brother and his girlfriend at the time, and we heard it on the radio.
Wow.
That's what I want to say. Wow. I almost remember that, like, vividly.
And it's a huge, huge, huge loss, because Jazz and I are going to run some of these things down about how her career went chronologically, and it's going to build up to this peak. And this peak yeah. is whenever we lose her. So, I mean, at the time, losing Aaliyah at that time is like losing somebody who's charting high, high, high right now. I want the younger kids to know how to parallel what her star was.
How this loss was.
Yeah, like her star was in that arena where these people are about to, everybody's going to, like, she was on a Beyonce trajectory.
Yeah. So she was introduced to music early. Her family was a very music heavy family. Her mom sang. She had an uncle in the business. He was an executive and an entertainment lawyer, maybe.
Okay.
Who had ties to Gladys Knight. So very early on, she was traveling with Gladys Knight, singing background vocals, performing on her 5-night Las Vegas run. Like
Gladys.
So she was in this thing heavy very early. She was signed at 12 years old to Black Round Records, which produced a lot of good music we remember, low-key. I remember that emblem of Black Round Records.
I did not remember when it was first mentioned, and I was like, Black Round Records. And then, like, they produced a bunch of our favorite artists. And, like, one of their later things is one of our favorite songs, our most favorite boring song of all time,
What's
Say Something.
That?
This shit was all I knew.
You and me only.
I did this all for you. Still, you were lonely. We could have worked it out. But I guess things change. By the time you get to, but I guess things change, you're like, well.
Yeah, my mood changed. This is no longer good to me.
Like, I can't believe how, like, emotional this song has been for me just in this little 30 seconds. I loved it and I hate it. Turn it off right now.
Please. Also, a Star Search kid. She did Star Search at, I think, 10 or 11.
Wow.
Do you think she won or lost?
Knowing Star Search's record, she lost, meaning she was destined for greatness. Because that's how that shit goes.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The best. Always lose Star Search. I'm sure there are exceptions to the rules, but a lot of the megastars we grew to love They lost Star Search.
You know,
they
this could be a testament.
It's a rite of passage.
But this could be a testament to making sure you know that you're in your own lane, because not only has Star Search, you know, lost some of our greatest stars, Apollo has, and American Idol have. So, like, at this point, you're almost better off in second or third place in those competitions where people claim they know talent and that's why they're judging you on it. Mm-hmm. And maybe all that means is that you needed to stick to your roots.
Where the winners at now? Where's the winners at? Huh? All you winners of Star Search, what y'all up to? Would love to know.
Gaga won, didn't she?
Who?
I think Lady Gaga won.
Star Search?
Yeah. I know Lady Gaga was on Star Search.
Wow, I didn't know. Yeah. Okay.
I think Martin Lawrence won too.
Don't come up here saying all these great winners right now. That's not the point. So let's move into discography. Shall we go into the music?
You're shrugging. Like, she's really shrugging over here. She's looking so animated. That's why I wish y'all could see that. She's like, discography with her shoulders up. Look at the emoji with the man shrugging. Jazz, full form question face.
Discography?
Yeah, let's do it. So what are we going to talk about first?
The first album.
The first album.
Age Ain't Nothing But a Number, 1994. Aaliyah is 15 years old.
And she drops this.
Let me see you go back. Let me see you come back. Now let me see you go back. Let me see you come back. Let me see you go back. Yeah.
It's Friday, and I'm ready to sing. Pick up my girls and hit the party scene.
Okay, I want to be at that fucking house party because I know that shit was lit.
Back and forth and forth.
Yo, this year, house party.
Yeah.
Being at a house party and this song comes on.
Yeah.
That had to be a peak of the house party.
I mean,
just gives you house party vibes.
I mean, like, you kind of doing that thing with your fingers where you just, like, you pointing at people. Yeah. Like, you just, like, that's the shit right there. Like, you love that shit right there.
You love that shit. Jig on. It's swaggy.
It's jiggy. That's a jiggy-ass song.
But also, I mean, that's kind of how her videos were set up at this time. It was just, like, a block party. It was literally Aaliyah just on the streets, mad niggas everywhere,
feeling
just
it.
Bopping and grooving. And you will see the progression of her music videos, how it got so much more intricate with, like, the visuals, the choreography. It went from your simple block party to, like, full scenes. So that's one thing I also appreciate. Like, she literally was doing the stepping stones. She started off real simple and then became, like, no, we gonna do some shit.
Let's get it. I love it. We love it. We stand. And then.
Next scene.
Literally, the best cover version of a song that was already great, of course, of all time.
Learn what you think you know.
This is one of those songs that if I'd heard it recently and you played it again, I'd be like, it's fine, turn it up.
All I hear is Lauren London. This is my jam. When it comes on her and Old Boy in the Car and this song comes on, I'll never forget it. Now every time I hear this song, I just see Nunu with her pom-poms and
It's such a romantic black scene too.
Should you ever feel the need?
We love vibes.
But you know, they did a remix version that was like the video version. It was a little sped up.
I need to see it. You have to bring it up.
It's the official video is sped up. It's a remix version.
Bet.
And then lastly, we got Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
We're not going to play that song.
Of course not. Things were happening at this time and it was kind of put out there like Age Ain't Nothing But a Number. Well, how old are you then, Aaliyah? You know, because, like, she really did look. You couldn't tell me at this time she didn't look 20-something.
I never thought about it as being...
Not that it's a bad thing or anything. It's just that her aura and how she carried herself, it gave me grown ass woman. It really did.
It gave me that too. But to be fair, also at the age I was when this was happening, I knew about the song. I really just thought about it as there being like a wide age gap in general. Like I never thought to myself, "Ooh, this is a teenager singing about a grown man." You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But mostly because I was such a child that it was like I could not comprehend law.
Yeah, there was this point where when she was doing interviews, everybody got curious, like, well, how old are you? Yeah. And, you know, she wasn't really big about talking about her age until she turned 16. I remember watching a lot of interview clips and her being like, I'm 16 now. Yeah. You would think it was like 18 or 21. Like, she was like, I had my sweet 16. And it was like, oh, wait,
like
16?
Gasp.
Right.
16. I thought you were much older than that.
A lot of people did. And I mean, it's nothing wrong with it. We all know who is responsible for producing and writing this album.
Who shall not be named.
Yeah, we're not even going to give it that much time.
Who shall not be named.
So, very successful debut album. This got some people's eyes open. We could tell she was about to do some things. Then 2 years later, she teamed up with Timbaland and Missy, and we got That Fine.
Oh, yeah, it got lit.
If your girl only knew that you was trying to get with me, what would she do?
This is when I remember starting to fall in love with her.
Yeah.
I remember this being my song, like, for real. You get 702 appearance in there because they was working with Timbaland and Missy. They're in the video. And
most
so that was the first single off of One in a Million. And then we got the title track, Iconic.
Love it, baby, love it, baby, love it, baby. Love it, baby, love it, baby. You make me believe that your love.
Now this is where Aaliyah starts making her mark as a style icon.
Yeah.
You don't forget her in the leather. You don't forget her in that all white
bandana
with some kind of thing in her belly button. You don't know what it is, but it's cute. You don't forget how she was covering her eye with her hair and she had the sunglasses. She really started to form this style that don't forget.
It was a very humble flex. I mean, just from that point on, and it literally, you know, the confidence that you feel during "Marry My Life" mm-hmm. era, that's rearing. Like, this is another one of those, like, woo, this person got it. Like, they got it. This is it. This is the one.
She carried herself so confidently, like with the baggy jeans and like the little halter tops. Like, she really, really stamped a look at this point.
It was new money looking like old money. It was so pretty.
So
I loved
hip-hop,
it.
Sweet, like street but sweet. That's one thing I remember her saying she liked to be described. Somebody had wrote it in a magazine or something. She was like, you know what? I like that. And it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Street but sweet. She was very baggy pants, hip-hop style, but then like I soften it up a little bit. We love that. Genuine in the video with a tattoo of her name, like just
A to the LIYAH.
Okay, Kendrick. Is that how it's spelled?
That's how he did. A to the LIYAH. He was like, I'm gonna fit this motherfucker in this verse right here.
Yeah.
All right.
And then next up, 4-page letter.
Woo! Talk about a time to be alive. You got that much ink in your pen to be doing stuff. I like this. Woo.
That's my kind of shit right
but
there.
But if he doesn't get it on time, who are you upset with? FedEx? Like UPS?
Who asked we got to beat? If you don't get it on time.
I don't need nobody cussing me out. Like,
you
hey,
better get it on time.
You better get this shit on time. Check the tracking.
Wait a minute. Hold on now. This is not up to me. That was the mailman's fault.
I don't have nothing to do with that.
No, I didn't get it.
I sent you the tracking number. Get the UPS app. I told your ass to get the UPS app. You better get this shit on time.
I'm sending you. That's my kind of shit, though. I love to write. Yeah. I love to write.
Yeah. I mean, I have been on the receiving end of a 4-page letter before. And when I say that, I mean, I've gotten letters as a child, but I've also gotten strings and strings of text. And the worst of all is whenever somebody just sends you a link to a note. Like, nigga, open the note up. I'm about to fuck you up.
I'm about to flame. All right?
We about to flame this
I'm about
up.
To flame.
And I'm trying to figure out what's in the next 6 paragraphs that could not all be in the first one. And to be fair, nothing. It was very redundant down the line. It's been on the up end. It's like, I love you and I love your this and I love you that and I love you this. Next paragraph. Also, love you that. that, this thing. On the back end, it's like, fuck you for this, fuck you for that, fuck you for this. Mm-hmm. Also,
yeah, I can give you.
Fuck you for that.
I can give you both sides of this. I can give you a good ass 4-page love note, but I can also flame your ass up in 4 pages real bad.
But let me tell you guys something, okay? I'm a very cultured person, so I know when you recycle something. Don't be thinking out here just because I'm a dude and all I care about is sports and shit. I know when you writing something that you seen in a fucking notebook or some shit like that. I know. Don't come at me with that shit, because I've seen the notebook. I know what people say. I know about love. A romantic comedy thing. So don't play me. Come original or don't come at all.
Be original.
Yes.
Like Aaliyah was. Okay?
Trying to hear that talk.
And then Hot Like Fire. Hot Like Fire, another great song.
Yeah.
Another block party. We had fun.
We jamming.
And then she switched it up on us real crazy. It gave us some singing in the rain R&B.
Ooh, I know you're not talking about the one I gave my heart to.
I am.
This sounds to me like the back end of the 4-page letter.
Ooh, the follow-up to that 4-page letter. The one I gave my heart to. Listen. First of all, vocals were served. She was like, I don't just do this cool shit. I'm going to sing.
This
she was
sounds,
in the rain,
This
singing.
Sounds a lot like Monica to me.
You think so?
Yeah.
I can kind of see that.
It sounds to me like a Monica ballad.
I can kind of see that. But you talking about that being the back end of that 4-page letter is a lesson. Don't waste your words with these niggas because they is not going to appreciate it.
Yeah, well.
You're going to end up singing it. You're going to end up singing in the rain about this nigga leaving you. So don't even waste your time.
Well, unfortunately, you've hit me at a very apathetic time in my life. And for that, I don't have much country. But I will say this. Whenever it's real, it's real. And you don't have to worry about the words and the things. Everything flows the way it's supposed to go. Listen, the man who sleeps on the floor cannot fall out of bed.
Facts. Oh, you know what? Let's talk about some of these Lucy's and features Woo-hoo! She had at the time, too. Up Jumps the Boogie.
Up Jumps the Boogie.
We gonna show you how we party.
I forgot how much
Magoo.
I forgot how much Magoo sounds like Missy.
Magoo.
Yeah, like he sounds so much like Missy.
Where you at, Magoo? Music.
Like
Magoo.
Maybe we'll see him on Monday.
Yo,
wouldn't that be crazy?
Maybe. Oh my gosh! Please, I hope we do.
You was just gonna let my comment just. You were just like,
I was like Monday, like
shit.
On the streets, the MTV Awards. Yeah. Yo, bring out Magoo. That would be so dope. But also, as I was listening to the song, you could hear somebody on the low saying, "Up jumps the boogie, up Ooh. Jumps the boogie, up
You know, I like
real faint in the background. You can hear. Like,
I
there
love
are so
stuff
many,
like that.
There are so many layers. Because
you know, every time somebody does anything like that, that's my favorite shit.
Also, Major, she got to do her version of "Journey to the Past" for the Anastasia soundtrack, and that got her invited to the Oscars. I think that's mad dope. But then,
oh no,
something very life changing happened.
Oh no.
One of the greatest things to come out of 1998,
I already
if you
know
ask
what's
me.
Happening.
You know where I'm going.
You know what's happening.
You see what I'm doing.
I know what you're doing.
You feel it.
Dirty South. Uh-huh. And y'all really feel it.
Yeah.
East Coast feel it.
Wow.
West Coast feel it.
Okay. Say what?
Dirty South.
Here we go.
Can y'all really feel it?
Baby girl.
East Coast feel it.
Uh-huh.
West Coast feel it.
Can you feel us, baby girl? I'm the man from the big B.A.
Why?
Won't you come play around my way? And listen to what I got to say.
Cause I really need somebody. Tell me you're that somebody. If I let this go, you can come over. I'm in my number. Are you responsible? Boy, I gotta watch my back. So I'm not just here, bro.
It's not over.
Okay.
Say yes or say no. Cause I'm gonna be somebody. Tell me you're not somebody.
There is so much to unpack here. Where do we freaking begin? Let's start with the beat. Timbaland put his whole foot, leg, torso.
Listen.
In this beat.
I mean, from the it always it's jamming every time. You never don't want to hear it.
The baby cries.
Listen.
Who does that?
Oof.
The whole shit was a flex.
I
like,
mean,
the whole
it
shit.
It makes no sense. Are You That Somebody at every single level aesthetically is one of the most pleasing hip hop songs on the planet.
Yeah.
On the planet.
And then you don't forget the visual, like literally the choreography. I remember standing in my living room trying to learn all those dances. And
the
it
flamenco.
Still comes back. It still comes back to me.
It was
me.
Called flamenco.
Yeah. She had the two she had the two ponies on the top and she had the baggy like and then the end scene with the black on, like the fancy black on and the couples dance, like everything about this whole shit. Her
A
holding
vibe.
The her holding the damn bird, like everything about this is so iconic. You
so
don't
iconic.
Forget it. It draws you immediately.
Immediately.
That part you play, Timbaland draws you in immediately.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds good. This is the beginning for me of Timbaland kind of adding, would you say judge?
Adding his judge
to the tracks.
The judge.
We love that shit. I mean, he actually has a solid verse on this, and he doesn't.
And
he's not a phenomenal rapper.
You don't always love Timbaland rapping on his tracks, but this right here, nigga. This shit right here, nigga.
Do you know what he does on tracks, though? He does that thing where when you chilling with your friends and somebody says something kind of melodically, y'all make a song out of it. Y'all like, like, Timbaland's that nigga that's like in the middle of space, like, Dirty South. Uh-huh. Can y'all really feel me? Somebody's like, hey,
are you
like the damage is done, so I guess I'll be leaving it. But I was like, hey, turn it
up. It's like that. It's also like Old Dirty Bastard on the intro of Mariah. Yo, New York in the house. Like, you're immediately like, yeah, I'm listening.
Engaged.
Like, I'm here.
Engaged. Like, I mean, Timbaland has some of the most engaging sounds in the world.
And this was just a soundtrack song for Dr. Dolittle. Like, it was, we knew it was a vibe, but like the impact was not expected. It was just a soundtrack song.
Are You That Somebody is better than all the Dr. Dolittles. And I mean, the first Dr. Dolittle is actually not a bad movie. It's not a bad movie by any means.
This was my shit.
No, and like, and for the time, it's huge.
Yeah.
But that song is aged better than all of them. That's facts.
And it earned her first Grammy nomination.
Nomination.
She didn't win.
Who did? How did she not win?
Well, let's see what did. 1998 Grammy for. Oh, JD.
What is it?
Celine Dion On, My Heart Will Go On. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, the Titanic song. Yeah, no, that yeah, absolutely. Like, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Why does that always happen?
Yeah, like, I know. Like last time we did that.
Something that's a phenomenon. You're like, how did this not win the Grammy that year? And then you realize, yeah, well, this is why.
Yeah, makes sense. That makes perfect sense.
That makes sense. But still, amazing ass song. That's a stamp. So by this time, she takes a little break from music. Of course, she's always actively working on it, mm-hmm. but an album was not ready just a couple years later, because at this point, she gets her first movie role, Romeo Must Die.
Romeo Must Die.
I don't think I mentioned this, but she went to a performing arts high school, 4.0 grade point average. Mind you guys, I just want to throw that in there. Aaliyah was very smart. Mm-hmm. So she always had a knack for acting too. She was in Annie when she was a little girl. So she always had that knack for acting as well. And she was ready to balance the two. And she got that movie role, Romeo Must Die.
Romeo Must Die. Did he die? Because I don't really remember.
That nigga didn't die.
It was about Romeo and Juliet.
It's like a Romeo and Juliet story. They're so Jet Li, he's from this Asian family, and obviously, Aaliyah's from a black family, obviously. But they're at war in the neighborhood for power and territory, and they're at odds. Romulans
and Capulets.
That kind of situation.
Which is strange, Romeo and Juliet just came out like in 98, right? Like Leonardo and.
I don't know. Yeah, I do remember that. I don't know. Well, so yeah, this is kind of like the hip hop version of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh, yeah, it's like Romeo and Juliet.
DMX makes an appearance and like
that makes sense.
And you know, the funny thing about it is like it was more of a sweet story than them falling in love. Like there wasn't love scenes and like it wasn't a full blown
romance. Right,
and
it wasn't Shakespeare because DMX didn't come in like, "How art thou?"
Yeah. It wasn't.
Who
like,
go there?
It was just sweet. It wasn't too. You know, it wasn't too hot and heavy.
You know what a dog needs?
Like that. What he needs?
A dog needs a... What?
So with this, 2000 came a huge soundtrack, which she helped co-produce with like Timbaland and Missy and other people. And we got the song Try Again.
It's been a long time. Long time. Shouldn't have left you. Without a dope beat. Step two.
Chemistry is off the chain. It's perfect now, but will it change? This ain't a yes, this ain't a no. Just do your thing, we'll see how it goes.
First you don't succeed.
Dust yourself off and try.
Woo! Dust yourself off
and try again.
Try again.
Never forget that.
Never.
This is definitely her most recreated look.
Yeah,
her look from this video with the leather pants and the rhinestone bralette, the hair bone straight. You see this recreated more than any of her looks. There are some that are recreated a lot, but I think this one takes the cake. It's one of her most iconic looks. You don't forget her and Jet Li doing the dance kung fu scene, like mixing the two and her crawling across the damn wall and shit. Some iconic shit, okay? And then you got the collab with DMX.
Yo, you can go with the dog.
Aaliyah was, I mean, she always was beautiful, but there was a special beauty in this video that I can't exactly describe. Those steals of her and DMX where he's like kind of holding her and she's on this cute ass outfit. Like, it was just a different level of beautiful. That's really why this is so notable to me, just how beautiful she was in the video. In the video, the song is like hard as fuck, but that's the thing about Aaliyah. She always softened it up a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, literally, like she... Such a je ne sais quoi about her. Where she's very innocent, but she's also very sexy.
Like I can hang on the
like,
block.
You want you like? I honestly, Aaliyah is legitimate wifey material. That I think that's the best way I can describe her.
That's why she was always wifed up.
Because I'm thinking about it, like Aaliyah looked like it was amazing. Like she could tap in, if you get what I'm trying to say. Because not everybody can tap in, you know. And she also looked like I could trust her. So you don't usually get both with somebody that can really tap in and that you can trust. So take from that what you will.
Do you remember Ananda Lewis?
The name sounds really familiar. You know, it reminds me of Ahmad Rashad, though, for some reason. So maybe Ananda, Ahmad, Ananda, Tatiana, Ananda. Aaliyah.
Well, I don't know. She just makes an appearance in this video, and it makes me remember, like, how huge she kind of was in the culture. Like, she was a host. She did Teen Summit. She was in a lot of... host.
Is that what you said? A host. I'm sorry. It just came out like ho. She was a hoe. She did Teen Summit. And I was like, she was a hoe. She did Teen Summit.
A host, JD. Like a host of BET things, Teen Summit, and a lot of, I think she did TRL. Like she just did
a lot of killing the game.
She was like in the culture.
I just Googled her and yes, I recall.
Yeah, we have to talk about her a little bit. And lastly, a Lucy that came out, I Don't Wanna. It was technically on the soundtrack as a bonus track, mm-hmm. but then you later hear it on Next Friday. Mm-hmm. But it was more of that like sped up, almost rap singing type thing. When we hooked up, we sat mm-hmm. down in agreement. Mm-hmm. Without that,
we were together. Jamming, like the jam.
I believe it was a while. Yeah. Beautiful ass song. So I think interesting to note, while we're on the subject of movies, because that's what she was really, really focused on at the mm-hmm. time. She got this role, then she instantly got Queen of the Damned.
That's right.
Queen of the Damned was that vampire movie. She didn't exactly get to finish, so her brother had to dub some of it.
Wow.
Yeah, and she plays this, like, evil, beautiful-ass vampire queen.
Why not
just
Arisu?
She's just hateful and terrible. But she was so beautiful in it. Like, we did not, it's so sad we didn't get to see her really go all the way. Like, right. She was literally just starting. And she didn't get to finish, but she finished it enough to where it was a complete film. Her brother just had to kind of help the situation out. But also was up for a part in the Matrix sequels.
Yes, that's right. She was going to take Jada. Well, Jada Pinkett is playing her part in the sequels.
I'm not very familiar, but I'll just say sure. She was going to be in the Matrix movies. And of course, before she was even able to film, we lost her. Also originally casted for Honey. She was going to be Honey Daniels.
See, now that is the one that I feel like we missed out
on something. That's the one.
Because
perfect.
The Matrix sequels leave a lot to be desired. I like Honey the way it is, but Missy was in that too, which is crazy. Like,
that would have been a moment. Yeah. That would have been
this
really
and this
cute.
And this, y'all know what I'm talking about.
Really cute.
Y'all over there doing this and this and this right now when I say it.
But that just, I can just imagine how much cuter this movie would be.
Yeah.
She was an actual dancer.
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Alba wasn't a dancer.
Yeah, she pulled it off well, though.
She did.
She did a decent job.
But imagine Aaliyah in that role. It would have been perfect.
Well, you know
man.
What? She did dodge a bullet in the sense that she did not have to date Mekhi Phifer.
Okay. Moving on. We're not going to do this today. Last but not least.
Too deep.
Absolutely. Mekhi Phifer. Lastly, she was going to be in Sparkle, Whitney's rendition of that. She was going to be in, they like completely halted production.
Yeah.
This movie was supposed to come out years before it actually dropped, but because of Aaliyah's death, they just halted the whole thing. But
and somebody woke up and decided that they should cast Mike Epps in this serious film. And for some reason, and I have no idea why. Mike Epps and Jordan Sparks, it sounds like a death sentence for a movie before you even know what it is. Mike Epps is too lazy to really act. I don't know why people keep trying to make him act.
Trying to make Fetch happen.
Listen, like, let this nigga be himself in everything or don't hire him. End it.
It's just a reminder of how peaky she was. Because, of course, she had kind of calmed down on making music, but it was so anticipated. Like,
right.
She reminded you, like, hey, the album's coming. I'm actively working on it. But right now, like, I have some opportunities I cannot let up for this music. Like, I can do both.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you I can do both. So we were highly, highly anticipating this Aaliyah album that finally came out in 2001.
She did not disappoint.
At all.
I'm tired of arguing, girl.
Did you sleep on the wrong side? I'm catching a bad vibe. And it comes
to you got issues?
Speak your heart. Don't bite your tongue. Don't excuse it. Don't misuse it.
What the hell is Leah talking about?
This is so,
so vague. Yeah.
It's just like she's throwing out a line. Like the shit sounded good, but it's literally just like a line.
You know what
this reminds me of
Can't Tell Me Nothing. Everybody loves Can't Tell Me Nothing, but Kanye, none of that has a narrative. He's just saying some shit and y'all be like, it's deep. We be like, all right then, holla then. Say something where you end up apologizing. And like
what are we trying to get to?
What are you trying to convey?
We need a resolution.
What was the start of the what's the theme of the song? Tell me what the song's theme is. Like, give me, like creative writing. They'd be like, okay, what are you going to write about?
Good Timberlake, girl, holla. What? What?
You know what? That's how this song came about. The song is really them playing spades, Tim making beats, and Tim saying some catchy shit, and then Aaliyah bridging off of that. I think he was just like, literally the first thought in this song really was, I'm tired of arguing, girl. And Aaliyah was like,
I'm tired.
And she was like, we're going to make a song about an argument. That's it.
You give me bits and pieces. You try to blame me when I don't even know the reason. Like, they had no idea what was going on either.
None.
They were both confused.
None. Sometimes
am I supposed to change? Are you supposed to change? Who should be hurt? Like,
this is the most Mercury retrograde song of all time.
We don't know what the fuck
is wrong with yourself. You just upset.
What we do know is this is one of her most like iconic makeup looks.
Yeah.
She had that thing going where she like just put lipstick on the middle of her lip.
Yeah.
And I think this video is a basis to why she ended up getting this MAC line.
Yeah.
You know, recently, like within the past 2 years.
And she was in the dungeon. It was a dungeonry video. It was
there was a snake.
It was like out of Get Your Freak On book.
Yeah.
And technically, like, this might be first. Because they're both, Get Your Freak On 2000.
Get Your Freak On 2000?
2000.
I was going to say 2002.
Well, listen, let's confirm that because I don't want to be out here spreading misinformation.
Okay.
Get Your Freak On came out in March 6th, 2001.
Ooh, this was, okay.
It was probably the same time.
Yeah. Then next we got More Than a Woman.
This is one of my favorite Aaliyah instrumentals. I mean, it is so.
Let's hear it.
Freaking good.
Cupid shot me, my heartbeat's racing. Tempt me, drop me, feel so exciting. Highly, I'll be more than a lover,
hey.
More than a woman, more than a
Yo, those snares are snaring. They snaring. Oh, man. I mean, I love that. And they bridged that beat out so much. I love it so much.
This video. This is definitely top two Aaliyah videos for
yeah,
me.
Like, yeah, motorcycle vibes.
Another one of those times I was sitting in front of my TV trying to learn the whole dance routine because it's iconic. That towel scene. Like, everything about this was so freaking dope. I loved it so much.
Big facts. I remember that video so vividly, and I probably haven't seen it in 10 years.
Yeah, I can see it in my head right now. This was maybe, I don't want to give y'all wrong information, but I think her last appearance was on 106 and Park, debuting this video.
Yes, it was. Because ironically enough, you know, they just, that's Twitter. That's going viral right now,
it
actually.
Is.
And it's literally like maybe within 7 days.
Yeah.
She says on the show that she's about to go to record the video for Rock the Boat.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she says that on the show.
Oh my God. Just a moment.
Yeah, a moment.
So sorry. She passes not too long after this video premieres.
They definitely upped the ante on the video spins, like, immediately, you know, until we got Rock the Boat.
This album in general, like, it skyrocketed. Yeah, yeah. Like, it went number one everywhere, even in the UK. She was, like, one of the first people to get a number one post-death. Like, it just, it was something.
Yeah, I mean, it was, I mean, that's probably why we remember it so well. And then,
Of course, Aaliyah went overseas to create this beautiful, the most beautiful video she has.
Most beautiful video she has. That is not a lie.
She had access granted. So I'm just so glad that the timing was so on point that they decided to document the whole thing for TV.
Yeah.
So Rock the Boat was made, and it is a treasure. It's beautiful. It's a lot of green screen, just animated waters, and the choreography, the looks, like, everything about it is so beautiful. This song actually was recorded years before it actually was released. And I think because of her age, it was kind of like, let's hold off on releasing this.
They said, let's put out 80 number right now. Let's say Rock the Boat for later.
Too sexual.
But Rock the Boat is actually a bedroom jam.
If you want it to be.
Unfortunately, like, haunted. You kind of can't really do that, but...
I'm almost not processing that this is about sex. Like, it's just, I'm almost not even believing it.
Give me where I'm going.
So you know one thing about this is she started doing this belly rolling that everybody thought was so crazy. Yeah. Me too. This is where I wanted to belly roll. I was like, I'm going to learn to belly roll. Like, she literally had YouTube tutorials. What would be a YouTube tutorial about how to belly roll? Because with the I Care For You, I think, album came a DVD. And there's this whole scene of her, like, teaching.
You have that?
I do.
You are a goat.
I am.
You truly are.
I am. Wow. I have all the damn gems of life.
Wow.
There is a scene where she teaches us how to belly roll. So cute. I love it. This is the one thing where her family did not come. Her brother, her mom, her dad, none of them were here.
Wow.
And it's probably was a part of her growing up and stepping into her own and being able to go be independent and, like, I got this. I can handle. I can manage. They were always there for moral support. But this is one of those things where she stepped out by herself and she didn't come back.
I mean, you almost want to say it's a blessing that they didn't go because they could have avoided tragedy.
Oh, God, it's
But you also
it's
think,
thick, man.
I mean, it's not that this is a little too sci-fi for in nature, but sometimes there could be something that could change your path completely. And, like, part of me is always thinking to myself, man, if they had gone, maybe, you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe something would have been different. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't the plane overweight?
The plane was overweight.
Right.
The pilot had cocaine in his system and alcohol.
God.
He had forged his experience. So,
God. I think if it had been any more overweight, they wouldn't have even thought to have been like, we'll let it pass. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the one thing I want to hope would have happened. Now, you telling me to get on the plane and there's something slightly wrong, I'm staying my ass wherever the fuck I was. You're not even going to trick me into thinking, oh, it's okay. It's a little extra person. No. Yeah. I'm not really that. I don't feel that comfortable on planes where people can do that.
So following her death came a compilation album, I Care For You. And they had Miss You on there. Miss You was a moment. You know, the video is all of her loved ones performing the song. And it's just this beautiful yet sad moment. You don't forget that video, all Free and AJ and Lil' Kim and just everybody singing.
It was another come together. Like, celebrities were coming together. Once again, remember, it's 2 weeks. So, like, I remember watching I miss you and seeing all these celebrities come together for Aaliyah's, you know, legacy. And then I remember seeing everybody come together for the 9/11 tribute song, like literally right after
people
that.
People were coming like, together.
Yeah, it was very much a. It was a time in entertainment where it was like unity. It was like the biggest thing, and literally it spawned like the creation of the Black Eyed Peas immediately thereafter. Because then we were trying to figure out what the love was, and it was just it was a lot of Dionne Warwick type music coming out.
Just interesting to have the word "miss you" as the track that is released and. They do a video where they just get to say that over and over.
Well, I mean, and honestly, it's really, this album has some of her most sort of like introspective songs anyway.
Yeah.
It's really kind of awesome that that's how it wrapped up, because they're all such so fitting of a posthumous album, you know? Like, it's crazy because, I mean, we played I Miss You already, but this was just... What she really feels is that I'll come
in a hurry.
What is that?
To worry, call on me. I'll come in a hurry.
Boy, if you listen to the beatboxing in
the beatboxing.
It's crazy. It's crazy. Just listen.
If you call on me, I'll come in a
let it finish, please let that note come out.
I'll come in a
can I talk to you?
Hit the notes. Find the notes. Hug the notes. Love the notes.
I care for you.
Beautiful. Beautiful,
I didn't
man.
Get down there. Couldn't do it. shit.
She was very good at, like, going down there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me rephrase that. She was very good at singing the low note. Cause her voice was
very
melodic, angelic. Like, it wasn't.
What did I say it was? It was sultry.
Sultry. It was just soothing and sultry.
Yes, like, Aaliyah mastered the art of sultriness over hip hop beats.
Yeah,
that's what it was. Before this, I feel like you got like Sade, but those are not hip hop beats. And then you get like Aaliyah, and it's rap.
I mean,
and you're like,
somebody's rap. Somebody's beatboxing, and she's.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, and I mean, and it's not too much of that right now. I think I was telling Jazz about how existential R&B became post like Frank Ocean era. People are just writing about the space and the moon and trying to make it relate to you, which is not a bad thing so much as people they're doing narrative R&B. Like, it's all very layman's. Like, this is a situation. This is what's happening. I'm in love. I'm not in love. Whatever. Just keeping it very pragmatic. Mm-hmm. We likes that sometimes. We need a little bit more of that.
Also to note, she had this duet with Tank called Come Over.
Come Over, that's right.
Originally was not going to be used or wasn't used for her Aaliyah album. So it was actually given to Changing Faces. But when she passed, they released it on the I Care For You album, and it's a beautiful song.
Touchdown. Quarter after two. I know it's late. I'm calling you. Trying to figure if I can come see you.
Can I come see you?
Wait a minute. My battery's low. Let me. Alright.
Oh,
they killed this. That's a beautiful song. I can't believe this wasn't in the running for like a final album cut. Like the fact that this was like kind of like, thrown away.
Yeah.
Baffles my mind.
Yeah, it's rocking. It's knocking for real. Like it's crazy.
Aaliyah, it hurts. It hurts so badly that she was literally in the peak of her career. Like literally, this was fast track to Rihanna. What we see Rihanna doing today,
yeah,
that was Aaliyah's legacy to come. She was going to have this empire. She was going to be the style icon with fashion lines. She did have a deal with Tommy Hilfiger way back in the day, made it super popular. The makeup line, the acting, the dabbling into like literally everything. What we see Rihanna doing, we would have seen. Like a lot of people like to compare Aaliyah to Beyonce because Beyonce's so huge, but she was more on the track to Rihanna. And you see how Rihanna and Beyonce are both surviving. And both are huge.
And you know,
it would have been the same thing. Just Aaliyah was more on a Rihanna track than I can say Beyonce.
The real difference there is hard workingness. Like I mean, I feel like Beyonce is more of an outlier. Like a born outlier, and Rihanna is a little bit more of a outlier by effort because she's that hardworking, and that's exactly why all of it pans out the way it does. Rihanna, like Aaliyah, their attention to detail was just spot on. Like, I mean, you just know these songs sound so good that you just know that there's several takes. There's enough time to get bored, to get annoyed, and go back and get it right. Everything sounds so tasteful and like as if for some reason people really, really let this cook. Like they baked these songs until they were at their fruition before we got a chance to hear them. Mm-hmm. You never hear these things and think about what little thing could be tweaked to make these things better because they're perfect. Aaliyah put out perfect songs.
Yeah, and she was only 7 years in the game. Only 7 years.
22 years old. I mean, 22 years on the planet. 22 is very young.
So young.
For all intents and purposes, you know, you're a baby.
Yeah. There you will find a lot of sound bites where they ask her, "How do you want to be remembered?" That young, already asking that, and she would always say, "I just want to be remembered as a great performer and a great musician." And that's how we remember her. Like, I'm so glad she got to like talk about that before her passing. Like, how do you want to be remembered? And you could just tell she has so much love for the art, like deep. It was never no like extra ass answer. It was always, "I just want to be remembered as a great performer, somebody that put her heart into the art." Like,
whenever you're passionate about
simple
things,
as that.
Whenever you're really passionate, it's not complicated. It's simple. Like, it almost always is. And people will ask really passionate people every day why. And their answer is always just like, "I love this. I really don't know what else to tell you."
That's all she had for you. I love this shit. Like, every single part of it. Like, the ups, the downs, the hard work. I'm taking on so much at once, but it's so worth it because, like, literally this is my heart and my soul. It's what I'm meant to do.
We stand
and her impact, her legacy will forever treasure. Rest in peace, Aaliyah.
Tim is missing you. Missy's missing you. Rashad is missing you. Your mom is missing you. Your pop is missing you. Dame is missing you. Dad, we missing you. Woo!
Before we go,
one does have to go.
Now, I know we normally do this in groups of four. But I'm tired of giving y'all a lazy
one. I'm tired of arguing.
I'm fick it, baby girl.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. You know, I fell right into that. But we're going to pick three songs by Aaliyah. One of them has to go, and I wanted them to be as difficult as possible. So I'm going to run these off. Jazz is going to answer first, since it is R&B, and that is her baby. So here we go. Rock the Boats. Don't forget about that loose drum, that little congo, that boom, doop. That shit, it changed that song. It makes that song a whole different song.
It does.
One in a Million.
One in a million. You remember that remake? Cute.
Yes. Now, don't forget about that.
Okay. All right. Won't forget it. Okay.
Let's Are go. You that somebody?
Am I?
Listen.
What you want me to remember about that? Because there are so many things to remember.
I don't know where to begin. We just know just down remember. The line. Just remember that nobody in the world is ever going to pick Are You That Somebody to go. It's really one got to go between two songs, if we're being honest.
Ultimately, but you know, the commenters on Instagram never cease to amaze me. So we will see.
Let me tell you something. Don't you dare put Are You That Somebody and follow my personal account, because you will not get accepted. And for all of you that have come over to the Mr. B side account from the What A Time cast, love to have you. Don't say no stupid shit on neither one of my accounts. I might unfollow you. Also, thanks for listening to the show. Please rate and review on iTunes.
Okay. I love that. Okay. Let's see. Dude. It might have to be Rock the Boat, only because it's tainted. That's literally the only reason.
Yeah, and you know, I'm keeping the buck with you. I too as well am going to let Rock the Boat go. And it really hurts, because I did concern myself with whether or not that song was as good as I thought it was, because you know it's got a lot of clout around the event. Yeah. And looking back on it, I've listened to all the stems, the acapella, I've listened to every little bit of it, and it would have been a bop
regardless. It was destined to be.
So, Rock the Boat's going for Jazz and I. Let us know your thoughts. Leave comments under the post on Instagram.
Yeah, we love to have you guys and interact with you. I think it's dope.
Rate and subscribe.
Tell your friends. Yeah. Support us. Yeah. Because I think we deserve. Give us our flowers while we're still here.
Exactly. But we're going to leave right now. We going to have to connect another time. As much as I have to shake my thing on the dance floor.
Bye, guys.